Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Baselli will join us shortly. Here's the number, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of it if you're outside of the area. It's good to see you, Jeff. This is a really big show tonight.
It's your inaugural one. Congratulations,
JP. It's great
JP.
To be here. Great to be here. An exciting show tonight. A lot going on this week here at Everbank Field. State of the franchise earlier in the week. We'll get to that later. Of course, the draft is done now. Free agents have signed. They've added some workout players as well. It'll work out Friday and Saturday here. Waived Matt Scott today. The Jaguars' fifth quarterback is no longer, so there are now four on the roster. We'll get to all that coming up tonight. We'll review. I know you looked at a lot of film this week, Jeff.
I did. I actually, last week, you know, after the draft, I watched a ton of Blake Bortles, being that he was the only pick in the draft at that point, and then came back in on Monday and looked at the remaining of the draft picks, and then came in yesterday and watched all the undrafted guys that signed. Did not watch film on a lot of these tryout guys, you know, because right. You might find one guy that sticks around, a couple guys that stick around for camp.
Yeah, and that would might even be a stretch to find that many. I know there's three guys that are coming in to work out that have NFL experience. Let's go to the phone line now and welcome in the third member of this team. In honor of National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, it's Tony Baselli on the line. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing good. Sorry I couldn't be there for the inaugural ride with you there, JP. Excited to do this all year. I had a little charity event this week, good to be with you, and it's gonna be a lot of fun this year.
I agree, and we're looking forward to it, and we want to hear your thoughts about this draft overall. Do you have a grade for what Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley did over the weekend?
I refuse to grade drafts at this point. I mean, I think it's the most ridiculous thing you can do, because I think Jeff would agree. I mean, you can give an overall grade, just what you think based on how they did in college and the needs of the franchise. But the reality is, I mean, we don't know how any of these guys are going to translate into pros. And you see every year, you know, a handful, maybe, you know, 10 of the first-round draft picks that end up being, you know, flame out and being no good or very average. And then all of a sudden you get some mid-round guys that show up and make huge contributions to the franchise. So I think it's always too early. I think it's fun to give grades. If I had a gun to my head, I'd give them an A-, you know, between the A-, B+. And the only reason it wouldn't be a solid A is because the first pick overall is a guy that probably won't help you year one. I think it's a great, has the potential to be a great building block, a foundation piece for the future of this franchise and what they can do. But, I mean, even, you know, Dave and Gus have said, you know, Chad's the starting quarterback. And anytime you win four games, you're looking for guys that can help you get over the hump and improve the following year. And your top pick isn't probably going to do that this year. But I love what they did.
See, Tony, I'm not buying it.
2 and 3.
I'm not buying that he's not going to play this year. I'm not.
You don't think so? You think he will play?
I think he's going to play.
Second half or at the start of the year?
Well, I think it's all up to Blake Bortles and how he develops and he progresses. But I mean, hey Tony, you and I both have watched a lot of Chad Henne, and he doesn't look like he's a great practice player type of guy. I mean, I think that it's all about Blake Bortles. They know what they got in Chad Henne, and when Blake Bortles is ready to play, they're going to put him in there. And I think that he will impress them this year. And you know, I'm not trying to predict that he's going to come in week 5, week 6, week 7, whenever. But I think that when you draft a guy third overall, you believe that he is a franchise quarterback, and at some point, he will enter the equation because he will impress you that much.
Well, let's put it this way. Is it possible for him to win the job on opening week?
I think it's possible.
I don't think so. No way.
See, and
no
I do. Way. I do. I mean, you go back and you look at what happened in Seattle with Russell Wilson.
Right, with Matt Flynn.
I think a lot of the talk right now is just designed to take all of the attention off and the pressure off of Blake Bortles just to allow him to get better. And then when he shows that he's ready, he will play.
What do you think, Tony?
I agree with you there, Jeff. Now, listen, could he? Yeah, I probably a little strong thing, no way. Because, listen, I think he's a talented guy. And if he works out some of the things that even he said are weaknesses is his footwork, and he can be diligent and that gets a lot better, yeah, he could win the job. There's no, I mean, Jeff's right in that fact. I just think they're going to be so patient with him. I think the last thing they want to do is to throw him in there to the Lions and take any chance of stunting the growth of a young guy that they plan on building this franchise around. And Jeff, you said last week, Dave Caldwell's on the clock now. Because anytime as a GM, especially as a young GM, or early in your tenure with the franchise, if you pick a franchise guy that high, good or bad, you're tied to what he does and the progress he makes. So I don't think I was probably too strong saying no way. I just don't see it. I see Chad Henning as they roll out opening day. I just see Chad Henning as the guy under center. But, you know, listen, I think Blake's very talented. I think both Jeff and I were extremely surprised when they made the pick at quarterback. Not that it was Blake Bortles, just quarterback in general. But after you watch film and you kind of see what they did in the next couple days, it's pretty exciting.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Logman in studio. Tony Boselli on the line with us. You're a USC guy, Tony, of course. So in the second round.
I love the second pick.
Yeah. Marquise Lee drops down to the seventh pick in the second round. First, are you surprised he fell that far? And second, can he play?
Oh, he can play. And am I surprised? Listen, he was so injured all year this year, and it really, I think it hurt him. And if this guy comes out, if there was no rule that players had to stay 3 years in college, he would have been a top 10 pick last year, maybe top five. He was the best receiver in football for 2 years, his freshman and sophomore year. The guy's an absolute stud. He battled lower leg injuries all year, struggled with at USC with young quarterbacks that struggled to get him the ball. And in a tough situation, Lane Kiffin. I think he's a stud.
Let me interrupt you right there for a minute. I mean, is that the best quarterback that USC can get that was throwing him the ball last year from watching him on film? Tony, that guy's bad.
Oh, he was bad. It was bad. Listen, it was awful. And so you looked at, you felt bad for him because if he goes out in his sophomore year, he is a top pick. I think they got a first rounder. I think they got a top 15 pick in Marquise Lee. I think he is a bona fide guy who can be a number one receiver. I think he has great body control. He didn't run a great 40, but if you watch him play, he runs away from guys. He's a kick returner. I think he's going to be a very special player. And the fact that they got him and then Allen Robinson, who a lot of people thought would be an end of first, top of the second round guy, is amazing. I mean, you very well could have drafted your number one and number two receiver in the draft for a long time.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Logman in studio, Tony Boselli on the line. Let's go offensive line now, Tony. Of course, they trade up again to the third round, Brandon Linder out of the U. And they whack Will Rackley, who's a guy who has started the last few years and banged up a little bit. But you would think, since they whacked the previous guard and they put a guy in the third round, that he's probably the incumbent to go start there, right? He's going to be the guy, right?
Yeah, J.P., I think you're right. It's his job to lose. I mean, he's still going to have to compete. I mean, he's got to go out there and show he can do it. And I love it. He's 6'6", 310, 315. He's a big body. And one of the things I think we all realized last year, and Jeff, I'd love to hear your input on this, is we looked small on our line. As you go out, you watch in warm-ups, you look at the other teams, we needed to get bigger, especially inside the center and the two guards. And he's a big body. He's a big human being. I think he's going to help us at right guard.
Well, he's a big body. There's no doubt about that. And there was some great film to evaluate on him, Tony. Florida State against Jernigan, Aaron Donald at Pitt, and also Florida with Dominic Easley. So you can kind of get a pretty fair assessment of where he might be. I have a little bit of concern with Linder a little bit because I don't think he's a great athlete, but he's a big, mauling, powerful type of guard. And then as long as the space is small, he does very well. But, you know, you gave up a fourth and a fifth round pick to move up into the third to get him. I would have liked to have seen him maybe taken in the fourth round, and then maybe you could have gotten him in the fourth round. But, you know, they had a need, and we've seen that Dave Caldwell will draft for need. But I will say that, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, I do have concerns about his athleticism.
And Jeff, that's fair, but if you look at him, his size, and the fact that he's going to be a guard, and we used to say if you're a guard and you can play in a phone booth and you can be a mauler, there's plenty of guards in this league that aren't great athletes, but they're big, tough, nasty individuals. And if he can develop that and continue to work out and continue to even put some more meat on the bones of that 6'6 frame, I think he can be that mauling, physical, nasty type of guy in the trenches. Is he a guy who you want to move in space and get caught out there, where he has to move his feet in the open field? No, absolutely not. But I think as far as a guard play in the phone booth, be nasty, and I think that can fit his game.
Well, I think now you've got an athletic side, obviously, with Beatles and Luke Jokel, and now you have a blue-collar side, which will be Linder and Pazdor. And look, hey, look, I'm not ready to give the job to Linder yet because Drew Nowak's going to have something to say about that, and so will some other guys that are going to be competing for time. But you know, it looks like they got some things in place.
Let's stay on the offensive line. We'll get to the defensive picks in a moment. But Luke Bowanko out of Virginia. We had a show yesterday, Tony. I don't know if you watched it on Jaguars.com. It was the Jaguars.com Live rookie premiere. First question I asked Luke Bowanko.
Welcome. Good to have you. First question. Have you heard of Jeff Lagerman?
No, I haven't heard
That's
of him.
That's beautiful.
That's fantastic being a Virginia guy. You might be. You might have seen his long-haired mullet on a photo at University of Virginia. But let him tell you that story.
Well,
that's for sure.
That is a true story, Tony.
Something like that.
That's my favorite moment of the entire show. It's JP, the fact that you pulled that out. You are now the star of the show. You know what it tells me? Jeff, that you and I are getting old.
Really
because
old.
Because it's funny. It's funny. You ask guys, I mean, heck, my name's in the stadium. There's rookies that are going to come into this building and have no idea who the heck is Tony Buscelli. And it just tells you, listen, you get old and you get forgotten about. And but listen, they needed to draft a center. You know, I don't know a lot about him. I haven't studied the film like Jeff has on him. And it'll be interesting because right now it's Mike Brewster, and I have concerns at the center position because Mike Brewster is not a physical person. At this point, at least he hasn't shown on film.
You're going to like Bowanko, Tony. I mean, he is very athletic. Very athletic. He's got a little nasty to him. Played guard right next to Morgan Moses. Last year he actually started at least one game at center. I watched the game against the University of Maryland where he played at center and played very well. You can tell that he's a leader. He's making all the calls even when he was at guard. You know, so you can tell that he's got some leadership ability. And I think he's got I don't want to say more, but I want to say you get more excited about his athleticism than you do a Linder's athleticism just because he's just so good on his feet. You never see him on the ground, whereas Linder, you see him on the ground at times.
And Jeff, but I think you have to be more athletic at the center position in today's NFL, especially with the 3-4, because you got to be able to reach one technique. And you got to be able to handle that and work up to the next level. And he is a much bigger body than Brewster. So, listen, I don't know a lot about him. I think it's going to be a great competition. And I think there's a realistic chance he's going to have a chance. I mean, I know he's going to have a chance, but it wouldn't surprise me if he wins the job.
You know what's going to be interesting to see is left tackle, you know, what is Luke, 6'6", Zane Beatles, 6'4", and then Mike Brewster, what is he, 6'4", 6'3-ish, somewhere
yeah,
in that
range. 6'3".
And then you got Pazdor, Linder, and Bowanko, if he's in there. I mean, they're 6'6 across the board. I mean, this is all of a sudden a towering offensive line.
We had to get bigger, Jeff. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, so often you get in down in warm-ups and you look at the opposing fronts, the offensive and defensive line of their teams, they're just bigger human beings than we were last year. And so I think you got to be able to maul people. You got to be physical up front. You got to be able to hold the pocket and be firm, especially at the center and guard position. And I think that's what Dave wanted to do, is get some bigger human beings up there.
Jaguars Thursday, final couple of minutes with Tony Buscelli on the line. Let's talk about these defensive picks. A little depth here, of course, Tony, in free agency, they did some work up front and got some guys that can play right away and have experience, of course. But now it's a corner, a linebacker, and a defensive end, one in each level, and guys that can kind of stockpile and help the competition.
Yeah, I like the Colvin pick at corner. I mean, he's a I'm saying his name right, correct?
Yeah,
Colvin.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Aaron Colvin.
He's a guy that, you know, obviously tore his ACL at the Senior Bowl, but he's a 6-foot guy. He's a prototypical size that I think Gus, if you look at Seattle, what he likes, and would have been a much higher pick if he doesn't tear that ACL. And I think it's a good gamble. It's a good roll of the dice. They coached him. They were with him at the Senior Bowl. They know what they're going to get out of him, and I like that pick. So, and then you look at the kind of the back half, Smith, the kid out of Arkansas, as a defensive end. I don't know. I think it's going to be a crowded position at that Leo with what they did in free agency and the way that Branch has improved at the second half of last year. And I think he's having a good offseason so far in the weight room. So that's going to be a pretty crowded position out there at the defensive end.
Yeah, and he's a little different type of player. You know, obviously Andre Branch, but Chris Smith is a big, powerful. I mean, Tony, you see this guy, at the combine. He looks like Greg Jones. I mean, we're talking 6'1", 266 pounds.
Right.
He's probably got 20 plus inch arms. I mean, the guy is
like mine, like my arms.
Yeah, but the composition's a little different.
Okay, perfect.
But I mean, this guy, super strong, plays hard, great motor, probably a little bit better in a run game than maybe an Andre Branch would be, but not the speed or the ability to run maybe as an Andre Branch. So, I mean, he's got some limitations. I mean, he was a fifth-round draft pick, for heaven's sakes.
Well, and you look at it, Jeff, I mean, right now you have three Leos on the team. You have Clemens, you have Babbitt, and Branch. And you draft Chris Smith. They're not keeping four Leos. I can't imagine that. Even four Leos on the roster. And so either Chris Smith is going to have to beat out Babbin or Branch, because Clemens, you know, is going to be here, or is he a practice squad type of guy?
Well, I wouldn't say there's any guarantees for any of them. That's just me. But the guy that
I'd be shocked if Clemens isn't there.
Well, you never know. I'm just saying there's no guarantees. But sure, the linebacker I like a bunch, Telvin Smith from Florida State. Don't like the fact that there was a little red flag at the combine. I guess reportedly he got popped on a test. But watching the tape on this guy, he runs like a defensive back.
Well, he's 218 pounds. That's part of it.
He looks like a defensive back.
That's right.
You know, so if he can put on 10 pounds, which, hey, look, you know, get a 5-gallon bucket of protein powder. You know, and start drinking.
Go for it.
Okay, Thomas Linsky, the strength and conditioning coordinator, I'm sure will work him hard in the weight room. But, I mean, the athleticism that he has, the ability to play in space at the linebacking position is going to help this football team out a bunch. Because the bigger you are up front, I think the smaller you can be right behind them. You know, so that will help them with having Red Bryant and all those other guys up front. But this guy, you're going to really like him, Tony, because the guy can flat out fly.
Tony.
Well, we had to get faster at linebacker. We had to. I mean, we had to be more athletic, you know, in the back half and starting with the linebacker position to be able to – I mean, how many times did tight ends kill us because we struggled to match up at the linebacker position with them, and being able to run sideline to sideline is critical. And if you're big up front, Jeff, I agree, you can lack a little size at the linebacker position.
Well, and just one thing to add with Telvin Smith, the one thing that they love, that this guy is super energetic, they say.
Over the top, man.
So that's good. I mean, you talk about having a Gus Bradley-type player at the linebacking position. That's all good.
Tony, are you around tomorrow and Saturday for the camp?
You know what? I'll be here Saturday. I'll be out there Saturday for the camp. I'm doing this charity event tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be at the rookie camp Saturday.
Tony, we appreciate it, and maybe we'll see you in the flesh next week on Jaguars Thursday.
Without a doubt, baby, I'll be there.
Okay, Tony Boselli joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Coming up, we'll recap the draft a little more, talk a little more about those rookie free agents. Jeff, looking at the film throughout the week, top free agent signings. State of the franchise, we'll recap that a little later and get you ready for rookie minicamp. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. And this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We're back on Jaguars Thursday. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. You just heard from Tony Boselli on Jaguars Thursday. Getting ready for rookie minicamp on Friday and Saturday.
Right, open to the public.
It is. You have to register. Go to jaguars.com/register. It is free. You have to register online for admission. 1:10 p.m. starts Friday and Saturday at the Florida Blue practice fields. And be fun to see these guys run around for the first time, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, because I think any time that you evaluate off of film, which is what a lot of the coaches have done so far, the more you see them in person, the more you can put them through your type of drills, I think it's a little bit easier to even to evaluate them further. Yeah. So I think that's going to be a great opportunity for the coaches. And also, you know, you never know. You might find a diamond in the rough with a workout player and then also get to see the free agent guys.
Yeah, easy with that. 27 workout player. You might. It's possible.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, hey, if it was that easy to find players, I mean, wouldn't every team just be great? You know, I mean, so every now and again, you got to have a little luck. And sometimes luck comes in numbers, and that's where this opportunity is at.
Is this Vito Stellino sitting across? He thinks luck goes in the draft from all the way down to the draft picks, or the free agent guys, too.
I'm not saying it's luck. You know, I think, you know, and to give you an example, you know, when we evaluated, or I was watching tape of all the quarterbacks, you know, I had Bortles up there, and I had Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I said that on film, Teddy Bridgewater looks fantastic, yeah, and I still believe that.
Sure.
You know, and then after the pick of Bortles, I came back in and I watched, I don't know, 3.5 hours of watching Blake Bortles and all the different circumstances. And, you know, the more you watched, the more you liked. You know, and I'm not saying that just because he's the Jaguars' pick now. Because trust me, I mean, there's some things that I did not like about some of the draft picks, and I've stated some of that. But with Blake Bortles, the thing I think that really impressed me the most is that for a big guy, he's got a real nice pocket presence, the ability to buy time in the pocket, and Dan Marino was one of the best at that.
Sure.
And
he had to be.
And I'm not saying that Blake Bortles is Dan Marino. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying
I heard that, actually. Easy. Are you taping this?
Yeah.
We'll go back and play that later.
Okay.
You know, when you say he's Dan Marino.
But he's got the ability to buy time in the pocket, but he also has the ability to extend the play outside the pocket. And so watched all of his plays in which he scrambled out of the pocket, and he's very accurate on the run, which is very difficult for a lot of quarterbacks. In fact, that's one of the areas that I think Teddy Bridgewater is not quite as good is his accuracy out of the pocket
right.
and scrambling. But Blake is very accurate on the run, and probably the best ball that he throws is the deep ball. I mean, he's got beautiful touch on the deep ball.
Well, see, I remember at the Pro Day. I was at the Pro Day in Orlando, and he was working on some footwork with Jordan Palmer, former Jags quarterback who was working with him. And he was overthrowing deep balls. But mm-hmm. I think in the past he had been short on some. I guess that was the narrative going into the Pro Day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's worked on it since.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's because he's fairly raw.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when you look at –
he hasn't played that long.
No, I mean, how many years has he played quarterback?
A few years.
I mean, he was a linebacker, I think, way back in high school.
He said he loves contact. Well, that's not good for quarterbacks.
No, and he's going to learn to be smart. But, I mean, he's still raw. It's not like he came out of the crib and started throwing a football. You know, I mean, he's a guy who was moved to the quarterback position late. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the reasons why he ended up at Central Florida. Otherwise, he would have been at a big-time program. So, I mean, when you kind of put that into your thought process, hey, he's kind of relatively new to the position, and then you see certain traits that you really like, and then you say, well, the upside should be high. And I give Dave Caldwell credit because if you're a general manager, the easy thing, I think, for David Caldwell to do would be to continue to build the team and then just find a quarterback at some point, either by happenstance or in year 3, 4, right. 5 or whatever, you say, hey, we got to get a guy now.
He had the guts to do it.
He had the guts to do it.
He liked him when he saw him in the fall when they played Penn State.
But he had a plan. You
know,
I had a conversation with Dave this week, and I asked him, I said, you know, what prompted you? And he said, you know, he said, look, the more we saw, the more we liked, the ability to win big games, to take a UCF to a bowl game of that caliber certainly was special. But then you also kind of, as a general manager, you have to look ahead. You know, what does the future look like for quarterbacks, you know, in 2015, in 2016? And they felt very strongly about Blake Bortles. They also knew that the talent coming out at that position in years to come weren't looking as good as where this opportunity lied with Blake Bortles.
Sure.
So I give Dave Caldwell a lot of credit. It takes a lot of courage to draft a quarterback because once you do, the clock starts ticking.
There's no doubt about that. And how about the fact of how he kind of hid his hand on this? You know, he's going around the organization. They have the scout and personnel meetings. They have the coaches meetings, and it's always Bortles at the top of each meeting.
And I think that's smart.
Without them knowing what he's thinking. And he knew that that could influence how people might think around the building. But if the answer is always Bortles, you'd go do it.
That's why you do that, because you know what? I don't care how good you feel about your scouting department. If you let them know how you feel – it's amazing how all of a sudden opinion can be swayed to be like yours, because you're the boss, you know. So you want to have independent thinkers, and the true way to get independent thinking is to not make them aware of what you are exactly thinking. So I give Dave credit for that. I mean, if he wants them to earn their money, they got to do and form their own opinions. And so I give him credit for that.
355-6351, 355-NFL1, the number to join us on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Let's continue on offense. Let's go through these picks a little more. We didn't talk about the wide receivers a lot. You know, let's start with the situation at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Not sure about Justin Blackmon. Doesn't sound good for this year by all the accounts from Dave Caldwell at the media luncheon. And that's putting it mildly, too.
Yes. I mean, that's putting it mildly.
If Shad Khan's calling it an absolute tragedy, that's not good news for the future.
No.
Cecil Shorts the third is really the kind of the veteran guy of this group, and he's really no veteran either.
Well, they're talking contract with Cecil, which I think is a smart thing to do. I mean, I think Cecil's a very good football player, a technician.
What could he bring if they signed him today? What would be a contract for him?
Ballpark number wise?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's probably going to be in the $4 or $5 million a year range, somewhere in that range. You know, I mean, in a perfect world, you get him for two. But you know, perfect world, you get him for one.
Yeah, that $1.
You know, so I mean, the market for wide receivers. I mean, it's for the big time guys, which Cecil's not in that category. It's $10 million plus. But there's very few guys in that category. So, you know, somewhere you figure in that 4 or 5 range, you know, 6 range for a guy like Cecil. If he ends up getting it, you know, you also have to kind of factor in that this year he's under contract. So getting some money really kind of ahead of it. So, I mean, when you get ahead of the curve, you're trying to get him for a little bit cheaper maybe than what it would cost you on the open market. But, you know, you need to have a proven guy to kind of lead that group.
No doubt.
Cecil's a great person to have in that situation.
Perfect person to have in that situation.
Great example.
In fact, Ace Sanders had a great rookie year, of course. He'll be back. So you bring in the two rookies and the two second-round picks in Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson. And Lee is more of a speedster after the catch, can really move, and he's not scared to go over the middle,
well,
right?
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Let me change your thinking a little bit. Let me change your thinking a little bit here, because Marquise Lee is very exciting after the catch. He's got returnability, kickoff returns, punt returns.
So I wasn't wrong.
But, I mean, you're not wrong, but he's not the only one that I get excited about, because Marquise Lee is definitely more polished than the other second-round pick, Allen Robinson from Penn State.
Well, I didn't mean that as disrespect to Allen Robinson.
No, I know you did. So,
yeah,
I wrote a couple notes down here on Marquise Lee. I mean, he's electric. He's competitive after the catch. And when a play breaks down, we call it scramble rules, where a quarterback and a wide receiver then have to adjust and kind of have a knack for a feel of one another. And Marquise Lee is fantastic at that. I mean, which, you know, when he's that good and the quarterback's in trouble and the play breaks down, a quarterback wants to have a guy on the field that he knows that he can count on, that he's going to find a way to get open. And Marquise Lee does exactly that. So, and he's a good route runner. But the guy that I'm really excited about is Allen Robinson, because we've seen Jed Fish's offense have a lot of those quick screen type throws. You should see this guy on a quick screen.
Strong.
He's better than Marquise Lee on quick screens. His plant foot gets his body, which weighs 220 pounds going north and south, in an unbelievable fashion. The guy had 97 catches last year at Penn State. I mean, is that insane?
Yeah, it's a lot.
We're talking about a wide receiver that went to Penn State and had 97 balls.
12 games, right?
I mean, my goodness, where'd Joe Paterno go? There's never been a wide receiver that had 97 catches at Penn State.
Next thing you know, they're going to put names in the back of the jerseys. Oh, yeah, they do that too.
But, I mean, the nice thing about him is that he's got size on the quick screens. He runs right through arm tackles. He gets north and south fast. He's not a burner. He's going to need a lot of work on his route running, but he's got one of the great wide receiver coaches in the National Football League right here in Jerry Sullivan, the Jaguars wide receivers coach. So I think that we're going to see a lot of upside with Allen Robinson.
Robinson's a guy that can jump in the end zone too.
Look at the Michigan game.
Absolutely.
Which was one of the greatest college football games I've ever watched, and he was dominant.
No doubt about that. Jaguars Thursday, join us 355-6351, 355-NFL1. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back, we'll look at some of the free agent signings for the Jags. Collegiate free agents also wrap up the state of the franchise. That's next on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Join us. Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Back inside the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field, J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Logman, Jaguars Thursday. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 if you want to get in. Jeff, let's talk free agents, college free agents. 17 of those signed, I guess it was Saturday night, but announced on Monday. Some notable names. Let's start at quarterback today for the Jags. Matt Scott was released. He was one of those last year, actually, and was on the practice squad all last season. So that brings the quarterback total down to four, of course, Henny and Bortles. But now it's Ricky Stanzi. And now Stephen Morris, the Miami quarterback, comes up to join his former offensive coordinator in Jed Fish. And it looks like a battle between Morris and Stanzi could be upcoming for the third quarterback.
Well, I'd be surprised if that's a battle for three. I think the decision is going to come down to, do we want to have two on the roster or do we want to have three on the active roster? If their true intention is to not play Blake Bortles all year long, then you would have to keep a veteran guy around like a Ricky Stanzi.
Yeah.
If Blake Bortles impresses, would not be surprised to see them keep just Chad Henne and Blake Bortles. And then your third quarterback would be on the practice squad. And that, I think that's where Stephen Morris's best chances are. He's got a little bit of an advantage in that he was coached by Jed Fish before, yeah. So there's some familiarity there with him. But he was undrafted for a reason, and that his accuracy at times is not very good. At times he's a little skittish in the pocket. Even a lot of the completions that he did have, they weren't put in the right spot. And one of the guys that they ended up signing, Alan Hearns, yeah. was the beneficiary of some of that.
Yeah, well, he's the all-time single-season receiving leader in Miami history, Hearns. But
yeah, and that might, you know, if you had the all-time leader at the U, right, wide receiver,
yeah.
you start thinking of Michael Irvin,
oh, yeah.
type players, big-time playmakers. I don't see that in this young man.
Okay.
I think he's a good, solid wide receiver, but when the ball gets in his hands, there's no wow. You know, and to play at this level, you got to have some wow factor to you. I think
that.
He's a good, solid wide receiver. That's why he was undrafted as well.
Let's move along. Some of these other guys, that there's a few names that you listen to the analysts, and it's always dangerous this time of year, Jeff, to listen to analysts after the fact, but three or four of these guys could have been drafted in some lower rounds but weren't. And, again, it's for a reason, but let's start off with some of the bigger names. DeAndre Coleman, defensive tackle out of Cal, 6'3", 255-pounder, out of Seattle originally.
Might be the best of the lot.
You think he's the best one?
It could be. I mean, because it's not very often that you can get an undrafted big body that's athletic. And it was fun watching him at Cal because he's so much more physically dominant than a lot of the players at that college level. So physically, he's got all the tools. I think there was a question mark about, does he play hard all the time? But he's got the tools, he's got the physical makeup, and he's got the athleticism. So I have a lot of respect for Todd Walsh and what he's been able to accomplish with the group that he, especially looking at what he did last year. I mean, with that lightning package with, you know, Andre Branch and Ryan Davis, Jason Babin and Sen'Derek Marks, I mean, what they were able to do rushing the quarterback, I thought was very impressive. So if anybody's going to get the most out of DeAndre Coleman, it's going to be Todd Walsh. So I think this is a good fit because, you know, one of the reasons why he was probably undrafted at Cal, he played a 5 technique, a 3 technique, a 4 technique, a 1 technique. They had him moving all over the place.
Wow.
And I think as a defensive lineman, it's hard to improve your skill set when you're moving around so much.
And he's not a huge guy either. I mean, what, 255?
Oh, no.
That's what he says here.
No.
That's inaccurate
that
information.
That is not correct. I can assure you of that. It is not correct.
Okay. So he's bigger than that.
He's a big man.
Let's stay on defense. Cornerback, Rashad Reynolds out of Oregon State, 5'11", 187. A guy that, the same thing. A lot of folks felt he could have gone, if not in the later rounds, maybe some middle rounds. And it just adds to that competition at corner. And Gus Bradley loves that kind of stuff.
I think he's got a real good chance at competing at the nickel spot. He's placed pretty well in press coverage. He's got excellent awareness, particularly in zone coverage, to where he's really disciplined and kind of feeling where the routes are at based on what zone he's covering. I think he's got a chance, you know, and you can never have too many good cornerbacks, as the Seattle Seahawks have taught everybody. So I like that signing.
Let's stay in the secondary. A guy that, if you followed SEC football the last few years, Craig Lawson out of LSU, a two-year starter for Les Miles there in Baton Rouge. But to you, we've talked about this before. Yeah, they like him closer to an eight-man front playing up.
He's a true strong safety. Yeah. His speed really is going to limit him in his ability to play in space. He's not a guy that can, I don't think, can flip-flop and, you know, all of a sudden he goes back and rotates to that deep third and has to be able to cover from sideline to sideline on deep ball. I don't see that in him. I think he's very limited on speed. But nice tackler, not afraid of contact, very good around the box, got some nice awareness. You know, so if he weighed another, you know, 15 pounds, I think I'd really like him at linebacker.
Who are some guys of this list of the 17 that weren't really heralded? I mean, you've watched the film on everybody here. Mm-hmm. Guys that may not have been drafted.
I did not watch the punter and the kicker.
You didn't?
I did.
The guys from Northwestern, Bud Zien.
I didn't. Okay. I did not watch the kicker and the punter.
Well, who's a guy that stands out?
But here's the funny part. The kicker's last name is Bud Zien,
right?
And the punter's name is Zincini.
Yeah, It's very odd.
It almost kind of sounds like zucchini. But to give you a couple other names, the guys that I like.
Guys that analysts weren't high on going into this draft.
The guy that they got from James Madison, Josh Wells, 6'6", 310 pounds. He played right tackle at JMU, which is James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Yeah. I liked his athleticism. He actually played in the NFL Players Association Bowl, so you got to see and evaluate him against some of the more upper-tiered players as opposed to watching him at James Madison. I think this guy's got a chance. I really do. I think you got to have the foundation, which the foundation to me is the athleticism and the size, and I think he's got a good start on that. I think if he has a year or two to develop, I mean, this is one of those guys that, you know, in another year or 2 years down the road, you could say, boy, that was a really good guy to get to develop. I like him. Another one is a tight end named Marcel Jensen from Fresno State.
I was going to ask you about that position because it's one we didn't mention earlier yet. The wide receiver pickups in the draft might help Mercedes Lewis get free a little more, but there's what about the other tight end?
Well, right? Marcel Jensen, free agent from Fresno State, 6'6", 270 pounds, a huge man.
Had Carr thrown to him in college.
The size to be a blocker. Wait till you see this guy's hand. I'm talking throw it anywhere and he's going to catch it. Soft hands. He's one of those guys that when he catches the ball, you're probably not going to hear the ball hit the hands. He's got that talent of hands. He's a big lumbering. He's not going to look like Clay Harbor running down the field.
Right.
Trust me. He's not. But I think that this could be a guy that all of a sudden, hey, look, if you want to pound some running backs up in there, Mercedes and another 6'6", 270-pound tight end in Marcel Jensen, you could do some of that, and he's still a threat to catch the ball.
We're going to come back in a moment and preview this rookie minicamp coming up Friday, Saturday, and recap the state of the franchise. Jeff, you were there. I saw you.
I was.
We'll recap that coming
up. You were live.
Oh, we were live on Jaguars.com. For that, ladies, the Jaguars Women's Club, presented by Stein, Martin, Culligan, was created with a female Jaguars fan in mind. Members receive VIP treatments that include custom membership kits, exclusive opportunities, and a forum to stay connected with the Jags and other club members through Facebook and exciting events. For more information, go to jaguars.com/womensclub. And the first big event, cleats and cocktails, coming up Tuesday. If you register by tomorrow, you can get into that. Go to jaguars.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final 10 minutes of Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Boselli joined us earlier. He's on assignment tonight, I guess. He'll be back next week. He'll join us in studio. 355-635 on the number. Last chance to get with us. Join J.P. Shadrick and John Wait a minute. That's me. John Osier and me for Jaguars.com Live, Wednesday at 12:30. Special guests will keep you informed with the latest Jaguars news and take your social media questions and phone calls.
If you need me to do the reads for you, JP, I can do that.
I might have to reword it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 12:30 on Jaguars.com.
What, Joe?
Wait a minute. What's up?
I have cards here, right?
Yeah, it's okay. One of the cards.
And that was one of the cards. Yeah. But you rewrote them to make them easier for you, and you still wrote, join JP Shadrick.
It's my rookie show, I guess. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Sorry.
That's pretty bad.
Wednesday at 12:30, Jaguars.com Live. Either way, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, rookie minicamp. If you want to come, it's open to the public Friday and Saturday, a 1:10 start. You must register online, though, jaguars.com/register to have entrance to the camp. Actually, what's the fishing forecast, Jeff, the next couple of days? That'll be the
windy,
same thing.
Windy, right? Windy. But it's going to be great to watch football because I think it's low 80s, nice breeze out of the northwest, 10 to 15. So as far as going out and watching a practice, I think it's going to be beautiful.
Right. No better incentive than that. Wear the sunscreen, come on out, get some autographs.
No, and it's going to be fun to watch the draft picks, and that's where a lot of the focus is going to be on. But there's
what are you watching for? Watching how they run,
well,
how they play?
You're not going to be able to tell much about the big guys except for you can kind of get a gauge on their athleticism, what kind of shape they're in. But a lot of these guys have no idea what shape you really need to be in to play in the National Football League. But this is part of that education process. But, I mean, this whole process of having a rookie man camp is good because you're getting a lot of these guys acclimated to what the coaches and Gus Bradley expect out of them when they come back or throughout the time that they're here, what they expect in practice habits, coaching styles that they're going to be seeing. So it's good. But there are also a lot of guys that are out there on the tryout basis that are just bodies. I mean, that's just the reality of it. A lot of those guys have absolutely zero chance of making an NFL roster.
You need a warm body with
pads.
They're there.
No pads. Okay.
A warm body with a helmet on.
That's right. They're there just so that they can have a complete practice. And look, some guys may have a chance. But if you think about it, if there's how many? 27?
Yes.
27 practice guys. If every team in the league has 27 practice guys that are just tryout guys, I mean, so you're talking about, 800 and something odd guys that have no chance of making the team. There's a few guys that do that, the diamonds in the rough that would be great if you can find one. But they're there to provide a number for the guys that they're excited about. But I'm looking forward because Blake Bortles, the wide receivers, the running back from UCF, I mean, you can evaluate athleticism to them. And I also like the fact that it's supposed to be a little bit breezy tomorrow and also on Saturday because Blake Bortles has a very strong arm. And I think you'll see that in the wind. And I'm looking forward to seeing the size of Robinson, the wide receiver. And I'm also looking forward to just feeling Gus Bradley's energy because it's just so apparent.
How about this tomorrow? We just found out earlier today that if you can't make it out tomorrow, the first few sessions of practice tomorrow will be live streamed on Jaguars.com on video.
Sweet.
And so we thank Dave Caldwell for that. Doesn't happen a lot of places, of course, so go to Jaguars.com if you can't make it out tomorrow. But please come. Should be a beautiful day. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Jeff, let's recap what happened on Tuesday here at Everbank Field. The 2014 state of the franchise. We heard from Shad Khan for the first time in a while. Mark Lamping had a large presentation about what's happened.
And
he
did a great job with it.
With all the local revenue. That's what they preach all the time is local revenue. And it was up 8%, I believe, the number.
I'm just surprised at how transparent the organization is.
It doesn't really happen anywhere in the league.
I've never seen that anywhere else in the league.
Maybe the Packers, right?
Maybe the Packers just because that's a publicly owned team and at shareholders meetings. But I mean, as far as putting it live on their website for anybody to see, I know of no other team in the league that does that. Basically, it was a PowerPoint presentation. It is archived on Jaguars.com, so anybody can go back and watch it. And I think it's a tremendous education on what an NFL team expects, what the market challenges are, where the rankings are around the league, stadium size versus number of households that you're trying to get to sell or you have to sell. So it was, look, I was there, and that's my second one, I guess, that I've heard, and I was intrigued the entire time listening to the presentation that Mark Lamping gave. I thought it was tremendous.
It's always interesting to hear the London strategy explained again, because a lot of folks outside of here or even inside the market don't truly understand that yet, but it's a big part of what's happening financially.
And I think it's going to be bigger because, you know, the Jaguars committed to go for each of the next three years left. And to be able to accomplish what they did in the very first year in London, I thought showed great promise, because you would expect that you always get better in the subsequent years after the inaugural year when you participate something. So just think of how far advanced this team can get.
Yeah.
By selling sponsorship and business partnerships to the London market in the years to come. So I think what we saw this year, I think next year if they do the same type of presentation, State of the Union, I think we'll see that pie of the London market be much bigger next year.
The game this year, of course, November 9th against the Cowboys at Wembley Stadium. Got a couple of minutes left, Jeff. Rookie camp coming up tomorrow. OTAs are a couple of weeks away, I guess, from beginning.
Mm-hmm.
10 OTA practices, and then a mandatory mini camp, and then it's some off time, right? That's the schedule coming up.
Well, and then I think the coaches are going to need it. You know, the schedule is now very condensed.
Yep.
You're basically, you know, by moving the draft back 2 weeks, now you're compacting everything into a shorter window post-draft. And I'm sure that the coaches are – I know the scouts are ready for a little bit of a reprieve, a little bit of a break, because they've worked so hard prior to the draft. And I know the coaches now, from now until they get a vacation time, they're going to be working very hard because it's all packed in there. But you know, I think it's okay. And I just hope the NFL doesn't do what they're talking about, possibly moving it back even farther. I'm okay with it because, you know, I'm okay with it as far as, hey, look, I understand that it's going to get better television ratings, maybe higher revenue, maybe you sell the draft to other cities as far as them being the host venue. But I don't like it from a young player's development standpoint, because the longer that a player, the longer the amount of time a player spends preparing for workouts, testing, interviews, the less time he has to prepare for the season. And I think that increases the risk of injury. And it also delays his development going into his rookie year. And that's not good, which is for ultimately the final product, which is the performance on the field.
It all starts tomorrow with rookie minicamp, 1:10 start at the Florida Blue practice fields tomorrow and Saturday. Normally a 3-day camp, but since they're in all week this year, rookies are allowed in the building early. They've cut off that final day. You can register, jaguars.com/register. You have to register to be able to attend on Friday and Saturday. Jeff Loggeman says it's going to be great weather, and we'll look forward to that coming up. So hope you can join us tomorrow and Saturday.
I'll be there.
You're going to be both, right?
I'll be there tomorrow.
Just Friday?
Yeah, just Friday.
What do you got? I mean, what do you got Saturday?
I got important things to do on Saturday.
Oh. Does it involve a rod and a reel?
It might.
I'll be out there Saturday, too. I'll be at both. And of course, we'll have extensive coverage on Jaguars.com. Our thanks to Tony Boselli, who joined us in the first segment tonight. He'll be back in the studio next week. For Jeff Loggeman and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.